Amen. Well, the last time I was here with you, we were talking about fear. We were talking about David facing Goliath. And we saw how five smooth stones changed the whole picture. Actually, it was only one, but you know, remember the chosen, right? The chosen ones that just were picked up after being rolled around for a long time. And sometimes it feels like we're in that, right? Being rolled and pushed and knocked around all the time. And we also saw that David in action. And David was in action, but he was confident. And this confidence came from not only knowing that his parent, his father, and his brothers were part of a people, but also because he had experienced God himself. And out of that experience, he was just moving forward, knowing that God was with him. And from there, last week, Joel shared a little bit about David's characteristic place in the history of Israel as the king exemplar, the one to look toward and see what God had in mind for a leader. And even as such, we learned that he was not perfect. And for that we have Jesus, right? For that we have the one and only who is perfect and has something to teach and lead us in. Though David was not perfect, he still had a certain something, right? They have a term for that in French, je ne sais quoi. You've heard that before, right? In Spanish, yo no sé qué. It's a something that you cannot really identify easily. But David had this thing. He was a man, right? A human being just like you and I. And yes, he was good looking, unlike me. But we know that David had something special in his relationship with God. He was, as is described many times, a man after God's own heart. Yes, healthy and ruddy. Remember, red cheeks. Yes, he was healthy. He was valiant and courageous. Yes, he was all that. But what was the thing? What was it? That thing that really set him apart. That leadership characteristic that he carried. Well, maybe we can glean some information from this passage. This part of the narrative of David's story may provide something for us to have a reference with. And perhaps some of the characters that are involved here will teach us also about what characteristics to look for. Now, we're going to encounter this character here, Michal. Michal the gal, I call her. You know, she is an interesting moment in this text, and we'll go through it. Now, there is a thematic thread through the story of David. There's something that creates points of connection, and that is the Ark of God. We have a reproduction here for us to see. You can see the cherubim, you know, covering this ark. Anybody seen Indiana Jones? Right? Please do not look in, okay? The Messianic group that celebrates their services here on Saturdays were so good to loan it to us. And this really signified something very important for the people of Israel. The ark is where God's presence was. This is the backstory of this text. God's presence. And maybe you recall, or maybe you know, maybe you read this passage before all these verses. The Ark of the Covenant, that symbolism of God's presence, was more than just a box. At some point, the Philistines take hold of the Ark of the Covenant, and they put it in their temple. And their God, the next day, ends up bowing down on the ark. So, you know, they stand the idol again. The next day, the same thing. This thing is on his face. And they started wondering, what's going on here? And they put it away somewhere else. And a lot of people started to get sick. And they started wondering, hey, there's something wrong with this. And after 7 months, they said, the heck with this. We don't want to deal with this. So they returned it. Imagine that. Having the presence of God with you. And not being to deal with it. Not able to deal with it. So they send it back. So it ends up in a place called Beth Shemesh, where the people there just greeted the ark with a lot of rejoicing. This is part of this backstory. And some of them dared to look into the ark. And unfortunately, they didn't get it, right? There's another 70 people that died. So not surprisingly, the people said, who is able to stand before the Lord? This holy God. To whom shall he go and see, and that we may be rid of him? So it was picked up from there, and the people sent it to Kiriath Jearim. And that's where it remained all the way to this point that we intersect with the text. Now, this ark from there is being transported now to Jerusalem. David has been king for 7 years. He has been in Hebron. But now, through a series of fortunate events, he's moving into Jerusalem, the city of David. On the way, one of the caretakers, the one that was driving the cart, is trying to care for the ark, put his hand on there, and guess what happens? He touches the ark. He dies. Uzziah dies. And the next thing that we know is that all the rejoicing, all the celebration that accompanied that ark turned into mourning. So they put the ark back to Obed-Edom for 3 more months because David is questioning himself. David is not only questioning himself, but he's saying, is God really with me? Even though all the things that had happened in his life, all the events that had happened to him, all the experiences that he had had directly with God, where God had shown himself. You remember, right? He protected the sheep from bears and lions. And he had the strength to go through that. And not only that, but he went up against the big guy. Remember that, right? A couple of weeks ago. And he not only won that battle, but he saw God's work. With all, and even through all that, David is shaky. Now I wonder what happens in our lives when things don't go according to what we think. When there is tragedy in our walk, I wonder what happens in our hearts when we think that everything is well and actually we think that God is with us because we're moving ahead, and all of a sudden something happens which shakes our knees. This is exactly what David is going through. This is exactly what he's contemplating. And it takes him 3 months. Okay? Are you with me, people? It takes him 3 months to grow not only through the grief of losing Uzziah, but then to come to terms himself with God's favor and presence in his life. I think that at some point, people come to him and says, "Hey, David, you know, the ark has been in the house of Obed now for 3 months. You know what's going on? You know what's happening? They're being blessed. They're being blessed." And that's when David says, well, maybe God is really there. And maybe God is not mad as I was. Scripture tells us that David was angry when he lost Uzziah. Well, maybe God is not mine. Maybe God has, again, given people his favor. So it may be time now to take God's presence to the city. And he goes ahead and does. Now here's the twist. This is a great event. It's a great moment. And even as they had to mourn Uzzah, and David was really math because of his death, he still celebrated. He still celebrated the entrance of the presence of God to the city. And we hear in this text that he is dancing. Almost in his birthday gown. You didn't see that on the text? Actually, David was only wearing an ephod, sort of a cover, right? That the priest used to wear. But this was a light thing. It was not necessarily pretty to watch, according to Michelle. But he's dancing. He's rejoicing. Even in a more subdued tone. If you read part of this text here, the verses before it says that the first part of the journey, there was a big orchestra. I'll explain. David says, "And all of the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals." I mean, you imagine that whole event with all the music? Now the second time is a little bit different. It says that David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was still in it. But David was girded with the linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Gone are the cymbals. Gone are the castanets. Gone are all the other instruments. Now it's just the sound of the trumpet. Okay, so they took it down a little. But David is still dancing. Now I know, I'm going to get into some trouble here. Have you seen how Africans dance? All right, I mean, just go back to some of the documentaries you've seen. There's energy being displayed. There is this rhythm. Right? And that there's this thing. There's this expression that comes from the bottom of their heart. I tell you, if they're happy, you'll hear the rejoicing. You'll hear the shouting. You'll hear all the joy. And if they are mourning, you'll hear all the cry. I mean, the range of emotions is expressed in all of its fullness. David is not from Europe. Hello? You know that, right? David comes from the Middle East. In the Middle East, just as in Africa, they have that same relationship with their spirit. They will let it go. Now, I know that, you know, here in America and in Northern Europe, people are a little bit more, call it, subdued. Right? You should have seen last week in the assembly of the Hispanic people. There's a little different. Because it's not only the instrument, but there is something that is in there. And when the fire is burning, people will let you know. So, this is just one of those examples of what kind of relationship we can see here from David. Again, we're trying to find out what is David's characteristics that really makes him a leader for them. So Michelle sees the spectacle of her husband. And the text says that she despised him. Now, if you read back a little bit, the first time that Michelle lays eyes on David, she becomes mush. Michelle looked at him and said, "This is a real man." Some people call it love at first sight. You know that? Well, eventually she became his wife. But Michelle came through a few other iterations in her political world. She had been manipulated by Saul, taken away from David and given to some other person. Was transferred to another man as if saying, there's better opportunity for you with this person than with David. Because with David, he's going to be killed. Don't worry about that. He's going to die. You're going to be still in the royal family if you end up with this person. But David, using a little bit of political negotiation and getting the upper hand after a while, gets Michelle back. When he gets Michelle back, this is who Michelle is now. It's not that person who is in love with David. Now she's that person that is looking at the spectacle and evaluating her prospects. Evaluating how people are going to be looking at her. When the king is dancing naked in the presence of God. Now, this is why I interpret from all that. Relationship is more important than etiquette. You get that? Relationship is more important than etiquette. I'm going to go back a little bit. Only got 3 minutes, people, but I'm going to finish this soon. When I was in Puerto Rico, going to my Baptist church, I was amazed that people would wear full suit and tie. It was hot. There was no air conditioning. But on Sunday, man, you could see. And just before my generation, people would wear hats, you know. And I could understand why that was. Later I heard through the grapevine, that they wanted really to wear the best, to show their best to God. And don't we do that? Right? Don't we do that? And here is Reuben with sandals and broken jeans, you know, in the knees. You know. So I didn't necessarily was in that mode, if you get my drift. But there was something that I knew, and that is God goes beyond my dress. God knows me in the intimate. And this is the thing about David. I think that David knew this. David somehow knew that God was into him, not because he was great, good looking, strong, a great warrior. It wasn't any about that. But because there was love involved. And I think that David would express that emotions. Whether he was sad or he was happy, he would express that to God. You know how many Psalms we have from David? All right, if you know the number, you're better than I am. But the fact is that when we hear David write a song, a psalm, we hear all his pain. I cried out to the Lord. Or we heard all his joy. Praise be to God, right? That's what I call sweet emotion. He just had this ability to say, God, where are you? I need you, and I need you now. And when he had seen God's hand, he would say, oh Lord, Who can fathom what you can do? So there's something that gives David confidence. There's something that gives David more joy. And is that expressed emotion? This relationship with God was alive. It had up and downs. It had uncertainty. There was a lot of crying out when there was danger. And there was a lot of sadness. When in anger, there was rejoicing when he sees God's favor. But I want you to see that David went with it. He went with it. Now, I live with girls. Y'all know that, right? I live with girls. And I know a little bit about this. Girls wear their emotions, right? In their sleeves. It's easy. Boys are not that easy. Sometimes I want more testosterone in my house, but... But David seemed to have that ability to run with it. If he was sad, he would let it go. Now, isn't it sweet when we can express ourselves in how we feel, in all our feelings with God? Isn't it something special when we can say, God, I am mad because I've seen injustice, and just say, I can't stand it, and say, God, I need you. I need you because right now I feel in the dumps and I don't have strength. Isn't it nice that we have that opportunity with God? But here's Michelle. Now, Michelle brought to me this image. Lily Tomlin's character, Ernestine. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Right? The operator, the phone operator. That's what I saw when I read this. For some reason, it just came to mind. Michelle did not necessarily care much about David's relationship with God. As a matter of fact, she was more concerned about how things were going to look than how things were. And I'm going to pick up here in verse 18. This is what it says. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back home. Remember, we read that, right? Remember, Joel was talking about how we express in action, right? What we are doing in our Christianity. Well, this guy was also in action. He celebrated and then he fed the people. Now, verse 20. David returned to bless his household. Now, check it out. He blesses the people. Now he goes home to bless the household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eye of the servants." Amazed. As any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself. This is what David says. "It was before the Lord who chose me in place of your father and all his household to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, that I have danced before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in my own eyes. But by the maids of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor." In other words, David is saying, if this is what I must do to honor God, someone will see my true heart. And this is what verse 23 brings us. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. I wonder if there's something about those attitudes that really brings back to us the things that we're not necessarily looking for. And this is the verse that came to mind when I was seeing all this image. Seek ye first. Remember that? Seek first what? And all these things will be given to you as well. Maybe David knew that. Maybe David held God and honoring God and expressing all of his emotions in God's eyes. Much more important than all the things that we could need or want. So I have a couple of questions for you. Do we seek a transparent relationship with God through Christ? Or are we more concerned by how things look? And this is my prayer this morning. May we all seek God in all. We may seek God's presence in all our danger, in all the different difficult things, in all the well-being, in all the joys that we have. May we see God in all of our lives, with all the ups, all the downs, in the midst of trouble, and when we are celebrating even our birthdays. Why don't we sing? And before we sing,